Back in the days when I was in school, we got three breaks each year. We had the summer break over Christmas and New Year. I think that went for 6 or 7 weeks. Then there was a May break for a couple of weeks. Then there was a break in August, which was another 2 weeks. So all in all, it was about 8 or 10 weeks of the year. But that was around about it. So these days, we find that about a third of the year is taken up in school holidays. So it's more important that you may realize that you spend this time productively. Kajal Pala is an edutainment expert and founder of Dream City and joins us on Australia Overnight. Thank you for your time, Kajal.
Thanks, Alan. Thanks for the opportunity.
Good to have you with us. Now, as I said, when I was particularly in primary school, I suppose, went on school holidays and it was all about playing and just having time away from the learning process. But you're of the belief, and I guess you'd have many people on your side who would think that there is more to do than just playtime when you're on holidays.
Yeah, that's very interesting because half of the year, in fact, if we look at the weekends as well, more than half of the year we spend in school holidays. So it's very important that we utilize each time in a productive sense. And it's no longer just 2 or 3 weeks in the whole year that you get the holidays. So doing things like more towards edutainment, which is more of educationally entertaining activities. So I'll give you an example. Say if you're going to a supermarket, why don't you give kids the autonomy to go and buy things for you? So you can probably just sit in a corner with you, and these days bullies have actually really good cafes and things like that. So you can be doing your work and give them a list of things to buy. Let them take in charge of the shopping trolley. They will see the ingredients and come back. You'll be amazing how they behave as adults and how responsible they are. So we just need to give them a little bit of more autonomy and more educational experiences that's also fun.
It's funny you bring that up because that would be one thing that I would never have seen as part of the education process for youngsters.
No, and that's what we think. We just underestimate kids' caliber these days. You know, 4 years old child has 150% stronger brain and more thinking power than of an adult. So it's up to us as parents, as teachers, or as grandparents that we utilize this time in the best possible way. Give them activities that's not only fun, but that gets them to learn something more about the real world.
Yeah, so I'm guessing, you know, things like doing reading and having more books around when the holidays are on, they are the good things to keep in mind, aren't they? Instead of just sort of saying, hey, look, let's have a fortnight in Bali.
Yeah, and even like, you know, just a very simple thing like taking them to a farm where they can pet animals rather than a zoo, where they can just see things. Because one of the proven facts is when we see, read or demonstrate, we learn about 30% of it. But when we actually practice by doing something, you get almost 75% out of it. So get them to do something rather than just seeing. So one of the other examples I can think of is kids, anyone beyond 7 years of age, they can make their own YouTube channel, and that keeps them busy for at least good couple of hours because they'll be writing the script, they'll be Googling how you actually edit the videos, they'll be taking a few videos, and if you've got a play date with 4 or 5 kids, one, you're not spending time on after-hours care holiday programs, which is like ridiculously expensive these days. Plus, they're doing something more entrepreneurial, which is more social, and that's taking them to the next level of thinking. So it's educational, but kids love doing it.
I would have thought that trying to keep kids away from iPads and computers would be one thing that would be on the agenda during holidays because, you know, as we know, an awful lot of time is spent, you know, YouTubing and Googling and things like that. I thought perhaps, you know, it might be an idea to try and keep them away from that for a bit of time.
So most of the time we should try and keep them away, but there are certain things, even the schools have made iPads compulsory these days. Most of the schools have, like, from year 5 onwards. So we can not sort of avoid an hour or two a day, but make sure that they utilize it in the best possible edutaining way rather than just playing a game. Because that's what kids usually do. As soon as they take the screen, the first thing they do is just go in a game mode, and that's all they really do. So if we have to give them an iPad, why don't we give them for an hour or limit 1.5 hours maximum a day, but with something educational, get them to work on the human body kind of app where they actually learn about the anatomy part of the human body. And that's still stimulating, still fun, but it's very, very educational.
I found that as I've grown older, I have a great interest in so many more things as I get older. It's a pretty broad canvas when it comes to my interests. How do you do that with children so that they're not sort of just stuck in doing one thing or going down one track?
I think giving them more autonomy and unstructured approach. So we as parents, we often tend to instruct them a lot that, okay, do this, I'm giving you this much time, and you need to finish that activity. So we instruct them, so they are confined with what they have to do. But if we just sort of give them a little bit of more autonomy and ask them what they want to do, we'll be amazed to see the options that they can come up. They may just say, let's go to a fire station and I want to see how the fire station works. Or just take them to your work sometimes, because a lot of the workplaces are these days quite flexible. And taking kids to work for a day or half a day and giving them that exposure how adults' world work from an early age, it's just getting them prepared for the future readiness.
Yes, and it's really funny you say things like that. You know, once in a while we get youngsters coming in who are in high school, or they might even be in heading towards university years, and they want to do a work experience for a day. And I think, oh my God, you know, to sit by me and see what I do all day, they'll be saying to themselves, don't want that job.
Yeah, I understand. It's amazing how actually kids can think and do things. So currently the project that we're working on, Dream City, it's all about getting them to play out different careers. And we just have to understand that their pedagogical development is very unique. Giving them, facilitating them with educational activities, taking them to a science works over a bouncing or trampoline park.
Yes.
As a parent, we're making the right decision, because we're giving them half of the year in holiday. So how many times can we afford, as parents? Not every parent can afford to take them to science works every time or trampoline park. So there have to be activities where it's cost-effective, but at the same time, very, very educational.
Well, there is a broad range of things that people can do. For example, you did say, you know, visiting a fire station. In Melbourne, for example, there's the Fire Museum, which is open, you know, pretty regularly. And to go in and just see, just have a look at the fire engines, I suppose, and have a talk to the people there who are running that, that could be of great interest to youngsters, couldn't it?
Yeah, and they will actually ask questions and get them to prepare the list of questions that they would like to ask there. And open their imagination, open their natural desire to create, explore and collaborate, because that's sitting in them. We just have to trigger it.
And indeed, you know, trying to get kids interested in a particular activity which might lead to a career in the future. At around about what age do youngsters see themselves doing something particular? Like it could be working in radio, or it could be to become a police officer, or to work in the fire service, or to become a nurse or a doctor or a lawyer. God save us from that. But you know what I mean? At what age do children sort of find that they're looking to do something with the rest of their lives?
That's a very interesting question, Alan, because the project that we're working on called Dream City, that's about establishing a new immersive educational theme park in Melbourne. And that gives an opportunity for kids to play out different career options right from the age of 4 years old. So you have a pharmacy where kids are actually the pharmacist. They're making and selling medicines. You have a bank where kids are working as bankers. You have a social business board where the kids are actually performing the entrepreneurship social programs. So they're really ready to think about their VCE career options as early as about 6 to 7 years of age, when they become serious. And we as parents in Australia, we tend to not engage any VCE advisors right until they get to year 10 level, when sometimes it's way too late. And just on that fact, in Australia, there was a study done recently, which showed that 40% of university graduates are working outside of their normal study field, and one third of university students, they drop out straight after year 12, which is quite shocking, doesn't it? Because we just don't think that kids are actually ready until they are in year 10 about thinking about their careers. They expect ready way before that. About 6 or 7 is the earliest they can actually think about their careers, but exposing them to the careers, that's very important, and giving them that opportunity to learn.
With something like this park you're speaking of, if you've got, you know, say 4, 5, 6, 7 year olds there, and then you have 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 year olds, how do you get that mix right? Because, you know, a 4 year old and a 12 year old, there's light years between them, isn't there?
Yeah, so say, give you an example, if there was an operating theater where kids are performing an open heart surgery, there will be older kids who will be performing more sort of complex procedure stuff, while the younger kids will simply be just looking after the patient. So they're still getting involved as a surgeon, but the smaller kids will be more of following the older kids, and that's more about you coach and you mentor and you learn. So it's a Montessori approach.
Kajal, how close are you to having this park available and ready to go?
So we are coming in 2019.
Yes.
And currently the location that we're about to finalize, it's about mid-2019, based on the construction, that how long it takes.
Wow. I look forward to hearing more about that in the future, Kajal. That is Kajal Pala. She's an edutainment expert and the founder of Dream City. How can people find out more about Dream City, Kajal?
So we have a website called www.dreamcity.com.au, and that pretty much explains what these activities are like and the concept, and also you can perform the activity through the web link it provides, so you can actually perform an open heart surgery online.
It sounds sensational. Kajal Pala, has been terrific talking with you on Australia Overnight. Thank you so much for your time, and enjoy what remains of the weekend.
Thanks, Eleanor. I appreciate your time and the opportunity. Thank you.